Well, Malcolm Turnbull was showcasing his credentials to be Prime Minister one day during a much-talked-about appearance on Q&A last night. Our political editor, Alison Carabine, joins us from Parliament House. Alison, good morning.
Good morning, Fran.
So there was Malcolm Turnbull, as he fairly often is, I suppose, a regular on Q&A, but this time just 1 week after Tony Abbott headed off a leadership spill in the Liberal Party room. And by all accounts, it was a pretty smooth performance.
Yeah, look, it was a masterful performance. The Prime Minister would no doubt much rather be talking about national security this morning, but instead we're talking about Malcolm Turnbull. It wasn't just the Malcolm Turnbull show on Q&A last night, it was the Malcolm Turnbull showcase. He got to wax lyrical, Fran, about a whole range of issues confronting the government, and in doing so, spell out his approach to dealing with them. So it was an exercise in compare and contrast without an actual declaration for the leadership by Malcolm Turnbull. So what we saw last night really was akin to a televised application for the job as Prime Minister, but with no declaration. And in doing so, at no point, Fran, could he be accused of being disloyal to Tony Abbott. It was such an adroit performance. But he was critical on a number of fronts, especially of the three-word slogan approach to government policy. Let's have a listen.
What we as politicians have to do is treat the people with respect. Don't slogan at them. Don't pretend problems don't exist. Lay out the problems. Explain what the problem is as clearly and concisely as you can, the latter being hard for me, as you've gathered, no doubt. And then you can have a debate about the options. And that, I think, that would then be an intelligent debate which respects the public.
So Malcolm Turnbull there talking about three-word slogans. Alison, that's always going to be interpreted as a dig, not just broadly, but also specifically, say, at Tony Abbott. But in a way, I mean, it's the same comment John Howard had made previously, that politicians need to get away from slogans and start talking to the public. It's just, and as I said before, it's not as if Malcolm Turnbull never makes an appearance on Q&A. He's a regular. But there was something different about last night. Is it just the timing?
Look, I think the timing is part of the reason, Fran, but it was also the way in which he was able to discuss at some length a whole range of issues that are plaguing the government at the moment. And he also had a couple of thinly veiled digs at the Prime Minister, not just on the use of slogans, but also, for example, on the government's vitriolic attack on the Human Rights Commission and its President Gillian Triggs over children in detention. Malcolm Turnbull very rightly trying to drag the debate back to the real issue at hand, that is children in detention. He also spoke at some length about the Bali drug traffickers, and he sounded very prime ministerial when he delivered his own message to the Indonesian president. There was also some criticism of the decision, the Prime Minister's decision to sack Philip Ruddock as chief whip. Now, the Malcolm Turnbull called it a captain's call. Now, captain's call or captain's pick, that's a siren sound to the backbench, which is aggrieved at a number of the PM's unilateral decisions. Malcolm Turnbull waxed lyrical about Philip Ruddock's virtues as a parliamentarian, and he made the rather pointed remark that the only person who can explain why he was sacked was the Prime Minister.
He didn't consult me. I don't know who he consulted. He's the boss. He's a captain, he can make a captain's call. That's his description of it. It's true. It is true. If you're the Prime Minister, there's a bunch of decisions you can take. And whether the decisions are right or wrong, you know, time and public opinion, no doubt, and other events will determine. All I'm prepared to say about Philip Ruddock is what a fine man he is, and I was very sad to see his services terminated in that role.
And I don't think Malcolm Turnbull did himself any disfavours last night on Q&A, and it was a message directly aimed at the backbench.
And Malcolm Turnbull, when he was talking about speaking directly to the people and getting away from slogans and explaining things, including the structural problems facing the budget, it looks as though the government might be coming around to taking a look at including the family home in the assets test for the age pension. Seems to be a few hints coming out.
Yes, that's right. The government will be very soon releasing the next intergenerational report. It will spell out in quite stark detail the exponential increase in spending on items such as the age pension. And the government has been under pressure for quite some time to include the family home in the assets test applied to the pension. That's because many people, maybe too many people who are assets rich, are receiving retirement incomes from the government. Now, we've covered this on the program on a number of occasions. The Grattan Institute, for example, they view it as taxpayer-funded inheritance subsidy scheme. If the home was included in the assets test, the Grattan Institute estimates that about $5 billion a year could be knocked off the pension bill. Now, this morning, the Financial Review is reporting that the Social Services Minister, Scott Morrison, has begun talks with senior groups about this very prospect. And interestingly, they do seem to be quite open to the suggestion that the family home be included in the assets test. But there are some caveats, Fran. Now, one of the most important is that this cannot be rushed. There's got to be full consultation with the sector. Also, that current retirees and those existing approaching retirement should be exempt. There would have to be quite a significant transition period. It does look like the debate is finally up and running. Hopefully we can get Scott Morrison on the program to give us some more information about this.
All right, Alison, thank you very much.
Thank you, Fran.
Alison Carabine, our political editor in Canberra.